Grace to you and peace from God the Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Perhaps one of his greater hymns, Martin Luther beautifully retold the story of God's perfect plan for our salvation. Luther addresses this hymn to the Christian, putting it into his and her mind, the passion and the compassion of God the Father and of God the Son for us and for our redemption. The hymn is called, Dear Christians, One and All, Rejoice. Martin Luther portrays our own sinful condition in the second verse, that we are all doomed to eternal hell apart from God's love in Jesus. In verse 3, Luther decries the sinner's desire to help out our own situation with our own good works. He says, "My own good works all came to naught, no grace or merit gaining. My fears increased till sheer despair left only death to be my share. The pangs of hell I suffered." With verse 4, Luther wondrously then relays God's working for our salvation. "But God had seen my wretched state before the world's foundation, and mindful of his mercies great, he planned for my salvation. He turned to me a father's heart. He did not choose the easy part, but gave his dearest treasure." Verse 5 then reveals that dearest treasure is God's own begotten Son. "It's time to have compassion. Then go, bright jewel of my crown, and bring to all salvation." It would have been easy for God to simply have eliminated all of mankind after mankind's first and continual rebellion against God. But thankfully, the God who is love could not bear to lose it all in such a way. And yet, the God who is also perfectly just could not permit such atrocity to go unpunished. And so God chose what was most difficult. Out of his great love, and in order to save mankind from his perfect justice, he sent his Son. And he did not spare him from the penalty for all sin. And Jesus followed the Father's lead. Likewise, he did not choose the easy part. Jesus was given every opportunity throughout his earthly ministry in his quest for our salvation to give it up, to put an end to it, to stop the road to pain and suffering upon the cross. But he could not go against his Father's will. Jesus could not give up or abandon the mission that he alone was given for us. The Pharisees would have loved it if Jesus would have ceased and desisted his peculiar activity in this world. They certainly did not care for his apparent disregard for the Sabbath day as he persisted to do the work of miracles upon that most sacred holy day. Jesus chastised the Pharisees as whitewashed tombs, calling them to task for their own self-righteousness. And so they tried to frighten the Lord Jesus, to stay away from Jerusalem, the holy city, their base of operations. "Get away from here. Herod wants to kill you." Would that have been enough for you? If you really had a desire to go somewhere you loved, but someone told you that there would be a person there waiting to murder you, would you still go? Now put that into the context of an ideology. You and I do have a very difficult task as Christians in today's world. It can be argued that Christians have always had it this way throughout history, yet these days do certainly seem to be a most conflicting struggle for God's people. Our culture and much of the world's culture around us promote same-sex marriage and demands a judgment-free existence for those who do not wish to identify as what God has made them to be from the moment of their conception. More and more heated discussions are had over the precious life in the womb and who has the right to that life. And pressure is on for Christians to stand firm against immoralities of all kind, cohabitation, and the idea that financial gain in this life is much more important than living according to God's word. Given that chance, you and I would rather not face such controversy. And when we have no choice, when they rear their heads before us, we often tend to side with emotion rather than truth. Win the argument or keep the friendship. Cause division or keep the peace. Live a lie or die for the truth. That may seem overly dramatic to a mentality that seeks to limit the drama we face. We are told, after all, that we should not take ourselves too seriously in this life. How do you think the prophets and the apostles would have taken such advice? Consider Jeremiah from today's Old Testament text. He had just finished speaking the word the Lord God had given him to speak, warning the southern kingdom of Judah that it needed to repent or God would bring it to destruction, make it a curse, actually, to all the nations. The religious leaders in Judah were livid with this so-called prophet. They were calling for his death, his execution there on the spot. He could have taken the easy path, removed himself from the scene, and ceased to speak the Lord's word. Yet he continued to take his job seriously, calling these people, especially their leaders, to repentance. Or consider the saint we celebrate this day, March 17th, Saint Patrick. He was enslaved by the Irish people and chose to go back into that land of his captivity. He could have enjoyed freedom in the rest of the European continent, yet instead he brought the gospel of Jesus Christ back to a people who had not yet received it. You and I often fail to stand up for the truth, for what is right, and we need to repent of such sin. Pray that God gives us the strength and courage of Jeremiah, of Patrick, and of all those like them, for they receive their help and their strength from the Lord as well. And God is merciful. He is slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. And He knows that you bear the mark of His dear Son upon you. By faith in Jesus, His grace and His forgiveness is truly yours. And all because our Lord Jesus did not back down. He did not choose the easy part. He replies to the Pharisees, Go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow. The third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. Jesus knows what he has come here to do. No one can deter him, and no one can detour him. The cross awaits for the Son of Man, the Son of God. For Jerusalem, that holy city, the centerpiece of Israel, remains the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How tragically sad this is. After all that God has done for this world, for his chosen people, this remains their response. God's people rejected the prophets. They rejected God, much like we still do today in our sin. And yet the Father has still sent his beloved Son into this world with the command that they are to listen to him. Perhaps they will. Still listen to Jesus. It's what he has required at the Transfiguration. It remains God's desire, his wish for all mankind to listen to Jesus. He is the way, the truth, the life, the resurrection, the Word made flesh. Jesus did not stay away from Jerusalem. Rather, he entered right on into that city as the victorious king would. He never buckled under pressure. Jesus never caved into the attacks of his opponents or of those closest to him. He knew that he must die to take away the sins of this world. Jesus knew that he must suffer and bleed as the ransom price for many and for all. And Jesus could certainly stand bold and stand brave in the face of such hostility because he knew that he would rise up again from the dead, never to die again. If only you and I could be assured of the same thing. And indeed, we are. You are baptized into Christ. You were buried with him through that baptism. And you will rise with him in glory. No matter what happens to you and to me here and now, the thrills of eternal life in the Lord's kingdom with our Lord Jesus await you and all the baptized children of God. And all. Because the Lord Jesus did not choose the easy part. He chose you to die for you, to rise for you, to save you, and all because he loves you, now and forever. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.